Church. And the ushers can bring out any sermon outlines and Bibles for those of you that need it, and welcome any visitors. And it really is an unusual morning for us. And the thing to remember about this, what makes this like, didn't go to a church service and expect to see like a family photo albums. But the thing about God is he's not just here on Sunday mornings. He's with us all week long. And he's very powerful when he's living through us in each other's lives. And that's what kind of some of the testimonies you've been hearing. Raise your hands if you need a Bible, a sermon outline, or a pen, and I'll be sure to get that to you. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12, so you can kind of be finding your way there before I pray. And so it's an unusual morning, and it's, you know what this is, have you figured it out? It's a, what do you call those, I just went blank, but meeting, you know, church meeting, doing with a annual meeting incognito. It's a celebration because it's not like you do business and then there's the spiritual part where God is. God is in everything. Everything is spiritual when you walk with God, whether it's money, it's reading your Bible, it's praying, it's fellowshipping together. And the things you didn't see in these pictures, too, is, you know, there's also been hardships this last year. There's been tough things. And we walk through those. We walk through death together. We walk through, you know, when relationships get hard. This church is very deeply about marriages and family, and we offer counseling. But we're not putting that stuff up there. And you didn't get to see the life groups. And I like the life friends. You don't get to see that real intimate stuff. We'll have to get some pictures of life groups happening during the week just so people see, man, we're just not always lip syncing all year long, right? But just before I jump into this short message this morning, it has to be short this morning, but there's we had bookmarkers made up called The Story, and so we're going through the whole Bible this coming year. And so join us in that. And the neat thing is you can jump in at any time, and there's these bookmarkers in the back, and it's telling you, you know, like this week, next Sunday will be March 8th, so we'll be reading chapter 5 of The Story, and you can purchase those at less than you could even buy them on the internet, and so we're selling them at cost for you guys. But it's, and The Story is basically all this, it's putting together the scriptures that are sharing the big stories of God. And so I encourage you to come into that or invite your friends into it, because we are a world hungry to hear God's story and how does our story fit into his. But this morning is one break in all that. And so let me pray, because I want to get into the message and keep us kind of going forward with this. So bow your heads. Father, you are unchanging. You're unchanging in your love. You're unchanging in your holiness. You are unchanging that you are calling us to walk out this life before heaven with you. Thank you that you don't just show up when we bow our heads, close our eyes, and pray. Thank you that you're not just there when we're opening our Bibles in a quiet place in the morning. Thank you that you're not just there here on Sunday mornings or life groups. We are called to glory, to live a life that glorifies you. Glory, Lord, is living a divine story following you into sometimes unexpected places, highs and lows. Thank you, you love us. And Jesus, you have shown us how to walk that out with you. And we pray now, Lord, that you come into your own words that you've given us in Abraham's story this morning. And Lord, just help us capture the heart of what you're speaking. The elders feel you're really speaking to us as a church in this coming season. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so hopefully you're in Genesis 12, verse 1 and 3. But first, let me ask you a question. What does a billionaire who tirelessly works to grow his investments, a professional football player who lives for the Super Bowl, have in common with a Christian who devotes all his energies to reading his Bible, praying, and go to church? They have all wasted their lives. Ouch. You thought it was going to be a joke. But what's on our hearts is that there is a way that we can live our lives and not end up fulfilling the calling of our lives. And see, each one of these guys has different blessings. One is blessed with money, one's blessed with all this talent, and the other one's blessed with God. But if that is where their blessings stop, and then they have no real treasures being stored up for them in heaven. And so in a way, it's not funny, but at the same time, it's exciting that we are a people God calls into the world to do a turnaround of lives. Amen? So let's read now the first three verses of chapter 12. Now, the Lord said to Abram, who later, by the way, later on, if you'll, who's Abram? I know about Abraham. Abram is the man that, and Sarai, that God called from out of their place, their world, to follow him. And later he changes their names to Abraham and Sarah. All right? And so verse 1 says, now the Lord called Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. When I really surrendered my heart to Jesus Christ as a young man in college, and just started, man, I got discipled by the college careers pastor, and I started eating up this book that we're looking at this morning, and I was just like a year away from graduating and going into electronics in Silicon Valley, California, and I had absorbed all the gospel stories in the New Testament. Then he said, you know, it's like, what do I read next? You meet a hungry, alive Christian? I wish, you know, we were like that all the time. Can't we be that way? And it's like, so what am I going to read next? Well, start at the beginning. So I start reading Genesis. And when I read these first three verses, these three verses, they really resonated. Something that I didn't fully comprehend resonated with my heart. And yet at the same time as I'm reading these, I felt like there was still a piece to a puzzle that I was missing, and this puzzle was a majestic scene of what a person's life can be. But you know, but the things I could connect with, I could see Abraham was like almost Jesus' disciples, one of the first disciples to radically follow God. You know, God called him away, and he called Abraham to leave his world and all his comforts and even his families, and he called him to follow him, and Abraham and Sarah did. And it reminded me of when I, you know, Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23, when he was calling his disciples, and not just the 12, but many, many people, men and women, to follow him. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so there's this resonating call that's been going out through eternity from the divine to his creation, to men and women that he's made in his image. And the disciples did. They radically, like Abraham, followed Jesus, leaving homes and jobs. And what's interesting is, I hope you caught in these first three verses, that God's words were conditional. They were a command. He's saying, go from your world and follow me. And when you do, there's all these promises and blessings in it. And what's so cool is at a later point, Peter says the same thing about, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. And you know what Jesus says to him in Luke 18, 29 through 30? He says, and we'll just put it up here this morning. He said, and Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brother or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. What did Jesus mean by receiving many more blessings? Now, what Jesus is not saying is that we should leave our family and our children and our homes to follow him. But he does say that in comparison, nothing takes higher priority than following Jesus for the sake of the kingdom of God, which is what we live out. It's not just following God, but we're following him, leaving the world that would get in the way of us bringing his kingdom, which is all of who God is in his heart and his character and his truth to the world. We know how important family is to God. Man, that is so important to him. So think how crazy important it is for nothing to stand in the way of us bringing his kingdom to a hurting world, even our family. And sometimes that can be literally true, not just in the other countries where to believe in God means persecution, but, you know, on smaller scale, simple way, when Jill and I were in California and we're both working our careers and going to church, and we were leading a young marriage ministry, God put a call on us to leave my family and my home and in California. And maybe that's why God resonated on some level, was that became a literal reality for us to follow him to the Midwest, where I guess God doesn't mind cold weather. And we honestly felt, and that's a big, big one. Sometimes it's just a particular day God says, do something. He says, go, and you're thinking that's going to be hard, and you do it. And yet every time Jill and I have done this, we can honestly say that we have experienced his blessings in life. And not just including eternal life, but just the promises he's making in these verses to Abram. So my point in this is that when God says go, it took faith for Abraham to leave the world that he knew and step out of his comfort zone and follow God. Notice God said to Abram, I will show you the way. To go means you don't go alone. To go means you move away from the things of the world to move closer to God. Now, if you're going to move away from the world, you know, what, are we all going to, like, you know, find some property in the middle of the United States and create a little spiritual community out there? No. When the Bible talks about the world, it's talking about the things of the world that get in our way of trusting him every day and every way. The things that are not of God. And sometimes it's not that they're bad. It's just that he's saying, I got something new I'm doing, and you're going to have to trust me in this. To go means you let go of the world to receive divine promises. And I want you to see these promises again. Three promises to Abram and to us he makes. He says, if you go, and then he's saying, I will make you a great nation. In other words, we're not each making a great nation. But in the New Testament, Ephesians 2:10, it tells us that God has a great purpose for us each to walk out. Each one of us. It may not be something the world ever hears or knows about, but he does. And I truly believe, I don't even have time to share some conversations we were having with a family last night, but there's this innate desire for each of us to feel like our life has significance. The young generation, those of you in this church that are the next generation, I mean, there's a hunger to save the world. The thing is, a person can, only Jesus can, but can we each do our part in impacting this world by living a great purpose? The second one, he says, and I will bless you. And so there's a way in which when you start walking in steps with your Father in heaven, he is going to put his favor upon you to do everything he's called you to do. You don't go alone, but also you don't work alone. And so he will bless your steps and give you favor into the things he's going to do through you to accomplish this great purpose. And then the third promise, he says, and I'll make your name great. And so having a great name for yourself in the eyes of God, there's this desire in each of us to be significant, to make a name for ourselves, to have a legacy, right? the legacy we want is the one when we've done the good work God's given us to do, impacted a life in that journey, and have God say, well done, my son, my daughter. I love you. I'm pleased with you. What a great servant you were for me. So how's that sound to you? Yeah? How's that sounding to you? Don't we want those blessings, a great purpose, God's favor, and a great name for ourselves in the eyes of God? But it may not mean leaving the homes literally, but it does mean making sacrifices to follow the Lord into new places. And it might be the sacrifice of time. Maybe you got it, like, maybe the world's got control of your time. It might be a place, like Jill and I, to leave a place to come here and be a blessing if we can. And it might be people, it might be relationships that are, he's saying, you got to leave this one if you're going to be able to follow me. It might be things, and it's always, there's always the sacrifice of our comfort. You know, I shared a few weeks ago, the first place God asked me to go that was out of my comfort zone was in the college group of church I just started attending, and they just wanted me to stand up and say welcome and pray. And I was just terrified to even get up in front of anybody and do that. So that's the challenge, is going. It's going to be out of our comfort zone, doing something that takes faith. But here's the cool part is, and the thing to take to heart is, the promises only follow obedience. And like I said, Jill and I have experienced those personally, and we haven't always done the best job of going when he says to do something. And that's the great thing, is there's always forgiveness. Even now, if you feel like you've not been walking that out, the thing you sense in your heart he's wanting you to do. So, New Crossing Church, man, when elders have been looking, you know, we prayed and went on retreat and prayed for you guys and thought about things this coming year. One of the things we felt is New Crossing Church is deeply blessed. God has, and we just saw it even this morning, things are happening in this church in deep spiritual places, and lives are getting saved, and people's lives transformed, and there's such a depth, a spiritual depth. I boast about New Crossing Church to other pastors, and just that I think you guys are awesome. The things you're doing with each other is great, and the elders just applaud that you are trying to go after God in such a pure and true way. But did you notice in these verses that God promises had even a greater purpose than being blessed? So God's first call to us is go. But his second call to us is be a blessing. And here's where that missing piece to the puzzle I really just discovered recently as we were starting this story series. So at the end of verse 2, after these three blessings, and he's saying, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I've said this before, but I want to emphasize it, because when I saw this and I shared it with the elders, we felt like that really captured where God is leading us as a church. It captures all these things that were like floating around. It was the missing piece to the majestic picture that we needed. And here's the thing about that. In all our most of our translations, it's in the passive, so that you will be a blessing. And then you can read, there's three more promises that come from God in verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and then you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so there's this picture at the end of this of, man, if we live this way, you know, the people would be blessed. It's almost like God saying, go follow me so you can be a blessing, and when you do, the world would be blessed by your awesomeness. You know, you'll just be so awesome. You don't do anything, and the world will just be blessed. I don't know where that came from, that accent. But California, used to surf. But this is not actually what God's saying. God is giving two imperatives in this verse, and the first one is go. An imperative is not a suggestion. It's the Lord saying, go, do it. and I'm just going to pour blessings on you. But the second, but the, this in, at the end of verse 2 is actually a second imperative. It literally reads, it's not so that you will be a blessing, which is in the passive. It's saying, so be a blessing. Be a blessing. Look at all I've poured into you. So now you go be a blessing to the world. It's a missional call. This call is coming from God to say, live a missional life as a blessing to the world because we ourselves have been so greatly blessed by the Lord. It's a two-step. You know, it's like a dance. It's two steps of faith. The first step is go, and the second step is be a blessing. And I think, man, I wish I could take time to give you my testimony because my life had been lived for myself in California before God invaded it. And I didn't realize it. It wasn't even purposeful. As I started going after God, he started transforming my heart, and everything I did in my life prior to God was for myself. I picked engineering because I figured out it would make the most money out of all the programs my university offered. And all my friendship, it was everything. What do I get from this relationship? What do I get from this job? What do I get from life? And he turned it around, and it's not until I looked back on my life many years how I realized this is why it resonated. I was missing before God being a blessing. So, we're all uniquely blessed. And let me close this section with what Jesus said in Luke 18. I'm going to read that again. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many blessings more in this time and the age to come. It's too easy in America as believers to be consumers. There's a danger where we go to church just for only what we get. You should be able to go to church and get recharged and refreshed and worship, but everything we do, even our worship, isn't what am I getting out of worship? It's what am I giving to God when I come to worship? And when and actually in our prayer times, we have people pray in my office before the service starts, and even there was just some things I didn't think about too much, but how can we be a blessing to the world? And it's like, when we go on our retreats, is it just what we get from the men's retreats, the women's retreats? Or do I go there getting everything I can, suck it dry of all the blessings of God, and then say, now how can I be this blessing into someone else's life? When I read a Christian book, is it just how it's going to bless me? Or how, and it just, your perception changes. How can I read this and it bless me so that I can be a blessing to someone that needs a God? You know, we all share some ways in which we can be blessings. Things like sharing Jesus' story with unbelievers. Mentor a young person. The elders feel like we're going to be focusing in on, I like that new phrase, it's life friends. No, Tad, thanks, Tad. That's a great one. But let's mentor one each other. Let's disciple. Grab someone younger in the faith and help them grow deeper with God. It's praying for people. But you know, there's another thing you need to know. You've been uniquely blessed. God has poured unique blessings in each one of you. There's spiritual blessings that it talks about in the New Testament. And there might be someone blessed with the gift of helps. And there might be someone blessed with the gift of wisdom. And do you offer that? Some people have been blessed with the gift of prophecy, other with the gifts of administration. It's in 1 Corinthians. You know, it's like, are you using those gifts as blessings, divine blessings, in other people's lives? So how the rich guy becomes a blessing is different than how the jock becomes a blessing, which is different than how the person in the office becomes a blessing. But we all can be a divine blessing. So Jesus gives us a paradigm shift of as Americans, as Christians in our country. It's not what do we suck out of life, but what can we give? And there's a personal challenge in that. There's a personal challenge. And so let's ask questions this year. The elders want to ask questions. We're inviting you to ask questions like, what are the blessings I've received? First of all, start with how have you been blessed in your life? And how can I use that as a blessing to others? How can God be a blessing in my workplace? How can I share Jesus with an unbeliever? How can we be a blessing to our neighbor? Do we want to build a new building or move into a new place for the blessing it's going to be to us? And that's what bothered me about this last year, is we were saying, now we're going to start going harder after the next place. It's like, but for what reason? Just because we're going to like it better? And then it's God put on my heart, if I take you and where I take you will so that you or the buildings can be a blessing to those that live around it. And all of a sudden I got excited about that. I couldn't get excited about just for the sake of moving in a place to give us more room, but I get excited if the building becomes a blessing to the neighborhood in some way. And let's look at ourselves corporately. You know, let's ask ourselves as a church, how can we as a church be a blessing? How can New Crossing use the gifts he's poured into us to the community around us? And the elders in the church, and we want to hear from you guys. And we already have one scheduled already. We're having an organization, a faith-based organization coming in that's trying to help struggling families, homeless. It's like, and because we feel like we have a gift of relationship and mentoring, and they recognize that, and they're wanting to talk potentially about how can we help maybe single moms or single dads or struggling people, you know, go in a way, find a way they can meet God and get healed in their character and discover that they too are precious in God's eyes. Amen. So how can we do this as individuals? How can we do this as a church? I want to just close with this. The rich guy and the jock and the Christian don't have to have wasted lives. They can go and follow the Lord and receive all his blessings for a divine purpose of being a blessing. And those are the treasures that no thief can steal, no moth destroy. Do you know the treasure you take to heaven? It's true, you don't take your money. You don't take your trophies. You don't take your devotional books you spent all those hours filling in the blanks. You take the blessings you've been in the lives of every person. That's the treasures God stores up in heaven. Proverbs 11:25. Says, whoever brings blessings will be enriched. Did you get that? You can't out-bless God. So as you become his blessing, your life gets enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered, it says. So don't be afraid to be the blessing, because you're going to be blessed so much more by him. I'm going to close now with a testimony. I want to invite Karen Jennings to come on up. And I thought the best way you did to kind of get a picture of this. Move this out of the way. Is to have one of our own members, yeah, come on up, share her story. And so Karen is one of the members of our church. She's been a teacher 21 years,
yep.
Right?
Yes.
And she teaches, when she's taught high school, she now teaches at the college, Madison College, and you teach?
I teach in the business technology department, so I teach computer technology and office administration.
Yeah, and so you've been doing this a long time,
mm-hmm.
But every year is not the same, I'm sure, but yeah. When I heard that this was a unique semester, tell us how it was different this year for you.
Well, I've seen a lot of different things. Had a lot of different students in my past, and my first day of class afterwards, I had a woman in her 40s hand me a little pink sticky note, and it basically said, "I'm going to try to do my best, but I'm homeless and I don't have a computer or anything. So I'm going to see how it goes." So she snuck out of the door after that, so I didn't have a chance to talk to her. But it was shortly after that, I went back to my office, and she wrote me a pretty lengthy email that kind of told me a little bit more about her situation. And she said she was around 40 years old, and she had a very good job for a very long time, and she got injured and lost her job, and about a year later, her house was foreclosed on, and she found herself homeless, and that's just kind of how it happened. She just was new to all this homelessness and trying to navigate the system, and she knew she needed to get some updated skills, so she was trying to do that. When she went to register for classes, it's kind of bad to say, but realistically, our advisors had to say, this probably isn't a very good time in your life to go to college. And it was very discouraging for her, but she was determined, and she did find one advisor who would help her through registration. And the flip side is the homeless, of course, can use the financial aid to give them some relief from that. So, yeah.
And so, what did you do? Given, she wasn't fitting the system or the normal expectations, and even advisors saying probably don't want to be going to college.
Not a good time.
And so, how did you react? I don't know. What did you do with all that?
Well, right away, it was just impressed upon me. God impressed upon me that no matter what, she had to succeed. She had to succeed because if two people told her she couldn't, it was kind of like the challenge. She has to succeed. It's bigger. It was bigger than the class, of course. It was more for her life and to be able to succeed. So what did I do? Well, I have a lot of classroom rules that set the ground rules, and that's the way it is. And it has to be, and that's in a very important part of my job,
to be fair,
to treat all my students the same. But I just, and I haven't really had this in the past, but I just was released from that, and just, I felt I gave myself freedom to just do what she needed to have done. And mainly that was, extending time on assignments. She knew that I would be tough and that I still had expectations for her, but I did make exceptions for her to be able to, hopefully succeed in the class.
You probably didn't have like a manual for how to handle this kind of situation.
No, and
it tugs on your heart, doesn't it?
It definitely just really, my heart just completely went out to her in a different way than it has for most of my students.
So how were you blessing then, Karen?
Well,
what did that look like for
you? She would, throughout the semester, she would email me updates, what was going on. She always kind of had a real positive attitude, though, and she'd close by saying, God is good. I know God is faithful. I know God is in there, and he's going to help me. So she kind of made it easy that way, but I was just in the background, confirming that and, just saying, keep the faith. And sometimes it would just be breathe. I mean, I'd get an email from her. She was in a crisis, and I just reply back, breathe. It's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. You're strong. You're intelligent. I was her cheerleader. I was her helper and encourager, and it was easy.
It must be kind of tough. I mean, we feel intimidated by the world to share our faith or share God. And in the school system, man, there's all even more pressure in that. And I know that you got to be careful not to cross lines and stuff. But, were you able to somehow bring God into this?
I did. There was at one particular crisis, and I was just, trying to look up different sources for her, and I don't know how to help somebody in that way that's homeless. And at one point I just said, are you connected to a church family? And I just said right out, I said, I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds, but I just want to help. And she email back and she said, I'm blessed by your ways and you're not overstepping your bounds. So I just kind of came right out, and because I kind of thought I need to make it clear that, you know, I need to have her permission.
Yeah, and I should say in that is, you know, let's remember, you know, that I just want that to be the cry of our hearts this year is go, be a blessing. But we have to be a different kind of blessing than the rest of the world. I mean, there's this great, you know, outpouring of, you know, anything you buy now, they're wanting to ask, you know, do y'all want to make a donation of this or that? And that's a blessing to, you know, that in a monetarily way, or build a house and things like that. But let's remember, ultimately, we're called to be a spiritual blessing that point people towards God and connect them to the one who brings eternal solutions and transformation of our lives. And so I just applaud you for, you know, going to that level with her, and it took courage. So kind of where did it go from there?
Well, so we went through the semester, a lot of trials here and there, and at the end, and I don't write all my students, you know, a message at the end of the semester. I wouldn't have time for that. But for her, I was just so proud of her. And I did. I felt very compelled just to write something to kind of close the semester. So
she made it.
She made it.
She completed.
Together, right. we made it. And so I wrote her this message. I said, I've completed grading all of your assignments as well as both parts of the final exam. You finished the course with an AB. Yay.
Wow, that's awesome.
Not only did you pass, but you excelled. Congratulations. I'm always proud of all of my students, but this semester I'm especially proud of you. You inspire me and inspire those around you. Please don't ever forget that. Also, don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't do something. The world is yours. You have what it takes. Keep the faith and keep pressing on. Miracles happen every day, and I think your miracle is just around the corner.
So. Did she, I think great. Yeah. Did she give a response?
She did. This is going to be hard to get through. She sent me a very, very short response, and it said, I wish you were my mommy. Yeah, she's 40 years old.
Let me interject. Karen is not old enough to be a mommy of a 40-year-old. I just want to be upfront with that one.
So she says, I wish you were my mommy, although not old enough, I'm
sure.
Okay,
all right.
You are so caring and loving. You bring my heart joy. When whoever married you is a very blessed person. So she's... And I just want to read this to make sure I get it right. She's 40 years old and wishes I was her mother. Wow. There are just no words for that. Since then, I went back and reread that very first email message that she sent me, kind of talking about her situation. And I'm shaking.
You're doing great.
And so I reread the message. And in it, something I had forgotten, she revealed that both of her parents had committed suicide. And it was so easy to shine the light of Jesus, to share my mother's heart with her, and to be her mama when she needed one. And it's just so easy to encourage her to trust God's unfailing love and to support her when she just felt like giving up. So it was just very easy.
Now that makes me think of when God told Abraham that he would, go be a blessing, and then he gives three promises, which I didn't, you know, get into that. The last one was to all nations, and what you did in being a blessing to her becomes a blessing to future people and generations, and that's a promise God makes, is that he multiplies any blessing we give, it will multiply in some way into the world. And that's just awesome, you know. And who would know, you know, that her parents had committed, were gone, and that you took that's a blessing that's going to change that life. And that's what it looks like to be a blessing. And I was going to close this with a prayer, but I don't know, you don't have to, I feel like the prayer should come from you taking us, you know, let us walk in the steps of Christ as you have, and invite the worship team to come on while you pray.
Oh, Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this church family, and we just ask that you give us the courage to maybe sometimes step out of our comfort level and to be a blessing to those that we encounter. Thank you for putting us in positions where we're able to shine your light, and we may not even know it at the time. And God, just thank you for anointing us with the message that we can share with people and really change their lives. So I just encourage you, God, to help everybody just go and be a blessing in the people that they encounter.
And Father, thank you for Karen, and thank you for those that we got to see this morning, of how they've been a blessing in the lives of others. And we just pray that that tribe increase. Let the tribe of blessed men and women being blessings increase, God. And show us how, and let us have the courage like Karen has to step out of the norm, to step out of the agenda, the comfort zones, and see what you will do through us. And bless Karen now. Refresh her. Pour into her even more of your blessings as she goes back into the school system and be your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, please stand as we close with this time of worship. And then we'll have lunch. And by the way, visitors, everyone's welcome. No, it's our gift to you. And so we just love to have all of you stick around. But let's the fellowship of God continue over the meal place too.
Song's called Here Is Our King. Perhaps the greatest promise is the fact that he will be back. Sing this song out with me.
Here is our King. Here is our love. Here is our God who's come to bring us back to him. He is the one. He is Jesus. And he is our King. He is our love, he is our God who's come to bring us back to him. He is the one, he is Jesus.
Forever ever springs arise to heal the ground. From wherever searching goes, the love. A trace of what we're looking for, so be quiet now and wait. Ocean is growing, tide is
here is our King, here is our love, here is our God who's come to bring us back to him. He is the one, he is Jesus. Here is our King, here is our love, here is our God who's come to bring us back.
Ocean is growing. our love. He is our God who's come to bring us back to Him. He is the one. He is Jesus.
Song. It's called You Are Good.